East Lansing native Dr. Jeffrey Docking became the president of Adrian College in 2005. At that time, enrollment had been dropping and the college was losing money. Docking hatched a plan to revitalize the college, not by cutting back, but by spending on sports. And it worked. By 2012, Adrian had reached record enrollment. U.S. News & World Report has twice ranked Adrian College as the number one up-and-coming baccalaureate institution in the Midwest, and it ranked it in the top 20 best baccalaureate colleges in the Midwest as well. Dr. Jeffrey Docking joins us by phone to talk about Adrian College's comeback. Welcome to Current State.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
When you came on board as president, Adrian College was losing tuition income. Set the scene for us. How bad was it exactly?
Well, Adrian College really had topped out at that time during the Vietnam War at about 1,300, but as you had mentioned in your introduction, dropped to about 850 students during my first year. And as you probably know and your listeners do as well, these small private liberal arts colleges are tuition-driven. And so if you're not bringing in bodies, you're going to have financial issues, and we had a lot of them. I think our first year we hemorrhaged almost $1.5 million from our budget.
So under 1,000 students 10 years ago. Where are you today?
Well, we opened this year all in at about 1,750, but in terms of the sort of traditional full-time students, 18 to 22-year-olds, we're closer to about 1,700.
And how did you come up with this plan to turn things around? How did this idea take shape?
Well, it really came from looking at liberal arts colleges nationally and realizing that they were, and to some extent still are, in a lot of trouble. You know, 90% of the students that go on to a four-year college from high school choose the big universities, the Michigan States, the Michigans, the Central, and the Westerns. And so we only get about 10% of the students. And again, given how tuition-driven we were, I just saw too many presidents crossing their fingers every August, hoping to bring in a big class. And I thought, you know, we need a much better, more clear business plan so that we know how we're doing throughout the year. So by starting both sports, and we started some additional music programs. We started a symphony. We started a marching band. We knew exactly how many kids were coming in for each one of those activities, as well as a great education. And so it really helps us monitor it every single week.
How much persuasion did you have to do back 10 years ago on this idea?
You know, there was a fair amount of persuasion, both with the donor community and with our faculty. You know, donors are wonderful people, but they want to give to, scholarship support and academic, pure academic purposes. And so they didn't understand why I was asking them for money for an ice arena and a football field and a baseball field. And yet, once they understood the business plan, once they understood that I could bring in, 50 lacrosse players on the both the men's and the women's side, so 25 each, they could see that as a non-scholarship school, it would have a great payoff. And so they did fund that. We raised about $15 million, spent about $30 million, so we did have to leverage about another $15 million. And it was a $30 million investment. And, of course, the faculty, I was brand new at the time, needed to understand that their payoff would come when the students started coming in and we could reinvest in what is, of course, the most important thing that takes place at any college or university, and that's the teaching and learning process every day in the classroom.
We're speaking with the president of Adrian College, Dr. Jeffrey Docking, whose plan to invest in the school's athletic programs caused enrollment to climb to record heights. And you started adding more and more sports teams, far beyond the common sports that every school has. Talk to us about that, please.
Yeah, well, when I came in, we had 16 intercollegiate teams, which is pretty typical of a small private liberal arts college across the country. And we're now up to around 37. We've started some, very, routine sports, as you would, guess, as I've said, things like lacrosse. We started a bowling team, but we also started some one-offs that have been really interesting. We started a bass fishing team, which has been incredibly popular. I had no idea when we started it. There's about 350 colleges and universities throughout the country that have bass fishing, and you can imagine in Michigan with all the lakes and great outdoorsmen that we have, how popular that's been for recruiting. Mm. And we've started acrobatics and tumbling, which is, again, sort of a neat a sport that a lot of people don't know about. And so we really just got creative, and we found out that there are just a lot of students out there that, again, want small classes, personal attention, that private education that we offer, but they want to do something outside the classroom as well, and that can often be the difference maker in how they choose a college.
Do you see other colleges on the U.S. landscape here, educational landscape, that might succeed by using the same model you used?
You know, I do, Mark, and I really shared the model in a book I finished in February. It's actually published by Michigan State University Press, and I shared it because I think that it's really a replicable model. You know, when you think of the wonderful small private colleges that we have in Michigan, Hope, Alma, Calvin, Olivet, Albion, I mean, these types of schools are spread out everywhere, and I think that colleges and universities just need to figure out what co-curricular programs can fit with their culture. I mean, I think a small private in Southern California may not want to start hockey like we did, but who knows, maybe competitive surfing or something like that. I'm not sure.
What's the process for launching each of these new sports? Do you research what kinds of programs students are looking for? How does that work?
Yeah, the process is really twofold. One is exactly what you just said. It's to research what students are interested in. For example, when we started a bowling team, I had no idea that over 200 high schools in Michigan had bowling teams. So it just seemed like a great sport to start that young people might be interested in. But there also is a much more detailed business plan that we run for every sport. And so we look at what it costs to hire a full-time coach, what it would cost to buy the equipment, what it costs for the students to travel and to create a first-rate program. And then we look at how many students we think we can bring in. You know, a tennis team might only have four or five recruits every year on the men's side and the women's side, whereas a football team, now we did have a football team prior, but a football team might bring in 50 or 60 recruits every year. So it really is just a business model. It's a much more conservative approach to how we grow enrollment, I think, than has been traditionally used in these types of schools. And it's really worked out well. I think we're in a good spot.
Well, we focused on the sports piece here. What other draws? What else should we know about what Adrian College has to offer?
Yeah, I think that the big difference maker for Adrian College compared to most other schools that students have to choose from, and again, there's about 3,000 colleges and universities nationwide, so they certainly have a lot of choices, is that when you come to a school like this, people know your name. A large class might be 20, 25 students. There are no TAs. Every professor generally has a terminal degree in their field. It's sort of the UNCOLA of higher education in that it's just different than the larger lecture halls that maybe students have seen on TV. Now, we don't get 110,000 people to our football games, and so when we have a football game, you know, on a real rainy, cold day, you might get parents and girlfriends and a few close friends. But at the same time, it's just a wonderful personal experience. And when you're done in 4 years and you walk across the graduation stage, you generally can get letters of recommendation from people that really know you intimately because you've participated in their classes and have been a real part of the culture here.
I think there are so many students who have attended the larger schools who probably have paused at one time or another and thought, do I really belong here? You know, is this really, especially if you come from a smaller town, smaller community, it can be quite a transition. So I think that second guessing is not uncommon at all. We want to thank Dr. Jeffrey Docking, president of Adrian College in Southeast Michigan. Jeff, thank you for speaking with us today.
Mark, thanks for having me. I appreciate the time.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.